handout. You can use that during the time that we have together. And the study sheet that was the study question sheet was given to you, and that has your memory verse for this coming week. I think I can't remember right off the top of my head what it is. John, something. 5:24. So memorize that. It's a little longer than the last week's. This week's, so you'll get to enjoy that as well. So Matthew chapter 1, and we'll read a few verses starting in verse number 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Today we're going to look at this very familiar passage of Scripture as we begin the focus over the next few weeks on the Christmas story. And we're going to look at a lesson that's entitled A Season to Hope. Hope is one of the central needs of the human heart, and it's one of the central parts of the Christmas story. And that's why we want to look at this portion of Scripture today. I'm going to show you how hope came into this situation, and the message of Jesus' birth came and brought hope to this situation. I want to try to help you understand how that can happen for you during this season as well. But let's pray and just ask God to bless this time that we have as we study His Word together. Father, thank You for allowing us to be here together this morning. Thank You for this group and, Lord, their desire to continue to grow in their relationship with You. Lord, they're faithful to Your house. They're faithful to Your Word as, Lord, it's taught and preached on a regular basis. And, Lord, I pray that You would help them to continue to grow as, Lord, I desire personally to continue to grow. And, Lord, I pray that we would be young believers who stand up for You and, Lord, who experience the wonderful hope that You alone can give to a life. And Lord, I pray that as we live lives filled with hope, that we would be able to spread the hope of Jesus Christ to others as well. Lord, I pray You'd use this lesson. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's a lot of things about the Christmas holidays that that we all enjoy. Now, how many of you do not listen to Christmas music until the day after Thanksgiving? Is that fit for some of you? All right, so very good. So that's good. Now, that used to be the way I approached life, but then I got married, and so and Becca has converted me. I like Christmas music a lot more than I used to, and we've been listening to Christmas music, I think, all year, and so we just kind of are always getting ready for it every once in a while, because Samuel likes the song Jingle Bells. We'll have to pop in the Clark Family Christmas CD and listen to that about 18 times, and so that's just kind of been the way that life has gone for me. But there's a lot of popular songs when it comes to Christmas time, but one of the most popular is that it's the most wonderful time of the year, and it's probably one of the most classic songs. It was released in 1963. It is one of the top 10 most requested Christmas songs. If you're listening to a lot of Christmas music and then this song comes on, it just has a way of kind of setting a mood and a lot of different things. If you were decorating after Thanksgiving, it's very likely one of the songs that you listen to. It's just part of what goes on. But the reality is, for most people, that this time of year is not the most wonderful time of the year. There's songs that tell about all the wonderful memories, but the reality is a lot of people, due to the imperfect nature of our world, have experienced loss or brokenness that has led to just an uncertainty or a dissatisfaction, a disillusionment with life in general. And so they come to Christmas, they come to the holidays that are supposed to be all about family and enjoying the life that we have in a way, and they don't have those things. And so instead of it being wonderful, it's depressing. And a lot of people will end up committing suicide during this season of the year. A lot of people will end up going into seasons of depression and discouragement, all because life has changed. And that is really the subtle reality underneath the surface for a lot of people during Christmas. And that reality is something that God wants to change. There's really nothing in life that will change that. There are people in our church, and I hope you remember them, people like Judy Martin, who last December on the 10th, Jim Martin passed away. I don't know if you remember him. I'm sure most of you do. This will be her second Christmas after he passed away, but the first one after the initial shock of it, to the 10th to the 25th, 15 days is just kind of, I'm sure for her, last Christmas was difficult, but I would venture to guess that in its own unique way, this one will be worse. June Pummels, a lady in our church who lost her husband about a month ago, this will be her first Christmas without her husband. And those are two that are especially on my mind. And I know there are others as well who have lost family members in this last year that I will be reaching out to during the Christmas holiday. But I know one thing. I can't really make it better. But I know who can. And his name is Jesus. And in this passage of Scripture, we find a situation that's similar to those of uncertainty and potential discouragement. And then we find Jesus' message, the prophecy and the reality of Jesus' birth, comes into the situation and brings hope. Because what we do is we find the life of Joseph in this passage. Not the Joseph that we normally think of when we hear the name Joseph in a Bible lesson, but Joseph, the husband of Mary. Joseph, the husband of Mary, was one of the people in the Bible who understood what it meant to experience an upset in the details of life. He had his wonderful life planned out. He was espoused to be married. He was getting ready. The time of espousal was a special time in the Jewish family and different things in regards to their culture. And I'll say a little bit more about that in a minute. But all of it threatened to come crashing down. But then God changed it. And that's what we read about in this passage of Scripture. And so I want to encourage you today as we look at this uncertain time in the Bible. Because all of you will face uncertain times. Times when hope seems to be far away. Their situation just doesn't really seem to make sense. People we know are going through these times. We as a church have been going through a time like this when we thought we had it all planned out. We thought we knew what the next number of years was going to look like. And then it all changed earlier this year. As a church, I'm just talking about it all changed earlier this year. At the beginning of May, Brother Jody had to step out for the time that he did. And then the month of May and June went on. And then it became a reality that Brother Gary would leave. And so on July 1st, Brother Jody resigned as our pastor. And July 2nd, Brother Gary drove out of town to move to Florida. And everything changed. Uncertain times. I'm not bringing that up to bring up to open wounds as much as to speak hope into every uncertain time in your life. Because you will have them. We all do. Some of you are going through some, maybe right now, with different things going on in your life or things that you thought would be one way and yet are turning out another way. What do you do in those moments? Christmas is a great time of year to be reminded about the hope that God brings to uncertainty. And so we're going to look at this passage of Scripture because hope comes bursting through the shadows in this passage, and God wants to bring it to your life. And you might say, well, everything really isn't going all that bad for me right now, but you probably know someone who needs to be reminded of the hope that Christmas is a reminder of. And so as you think about people and you think about your own life and you go throughout this season of year, make it your point to spread the hope of Christmas. And the hope of Christmas is not in family. It's not in gifts. It's not in setting up a Christmas tree. We bought a Christmas tree, and I'm a big proponent of real Christmas trees if you can possibly do it. And so we bought a Christmas tree, and it's really big. And we got it home, and we're like, wow, that's the biggest tree we've ever bought. And it takes up like this the whole corner of our living room. It's awesome, you know. I love Christmas. I love Christmas trees. And we decorated it and everything already and all that. But hope is not found in those things. Hope is found in Jesus. And that's what Joseph pictures for us today. So what we're going to do is each point in this lesson this morning kind of fits together like a puzzle. And so as we put each puzzle together, the overall goal is to see the picture of hope in this passage of Scripture. So puzzle piece number one, you can keep track in your notes, is this: the pronouncement of hope. This story in Matthew chapter 1, up through this point in that chapter, it's just giving the lineage of Jesus Christ, which is significant, but the narrative portion of this story begins in verse number 18 with an announcement or the thing that really begins to set the stage for what is happening and what was had been happening, because really in verse number 18 we see it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." And in these few words, God introduces the characters and introduces the thoughts that's going on. But this one verse really summarizes all of Luke chapter 1. I mean, there's a lot contained in this one verse as we come to this story, because it talks about the fact of Mary's espousal and Mary's pregnancy and all that goes on. And so what we're going to do in this first point is we're going to look at this couple and the details about Mary and Joseph, just to help us understand the pronouncement that was given. I'll try to remember to turn these slides here as we go on. But so just to look at the couple that received this pronouncement is our goal here. And so the first thing we see about them is that this pronouncement was given to an espoused couple. That's what the verse says. When Mary was espoused to Joseph. Now, in our society, we obviously, most people observe the practice of engagement. And for some people, it's longer. For some people, it's shorter. Lakin is engaged. It's an exciting thing. Engagement is an exciting time. My wife and I, we enjoyed that season of our lives as well. But engagement in our culture is different than espousal in the Jewish culture. Now, this may be may not be news to you, but in the Jewish culture, a couple that was espoused or was betrothed in that manner, what had happened was the man who was to become the husband had made a deal, sounds wrong, but had discussed with the father of the lady who would become his bride, and they had agreed to obviously dowry and different things like that, and to time and things like that, and they had really set forth a contract. And you might say, well, these are all kind of weird terms, but regardless of maybe the thoughts that may make you think, this was the way that they did it, and it functioned well when godly people were involved in it. And so in this society, they would make this contract, and what it really meant was that this couple was married for all intents and purposes. There was just a period of separation before they would come together and consummate the marriage and live together. And in that period of separation, it was the responsibility of the soon-to-be husband, the groom, to go and build a house and prepare the land and get things ready so that when he got married, he actually had something to bring his new bride to. And so that was espousal. I mean, they were basically married under Jewish law. And so this is an espoused couple, a couple that had all of those sentiments, I'm sure, that were going into the marriage that they would enjoy for the rest of their lives. They were a couple that was destined to be married, and yet they had not been married yet. And so they were an espoused couple, but this pronouncement was also given to a pure couple. It says, before they came together. Now, this is not as much of a moment in Scripture to talk about the importance of staying pure until you get married, but let me encourage you to do that. That is what this couple had done as well. They were a couple that was observing the cultural and the biblical standards that had been set for them. They were a couple that was pure. They were a couple that was preparing to be married. And what comes out of this is the fact that Mary was a virgin. And that is a significant fact in the Christmas narrative. As this couple is preparing for marriage, and they're doing everything in the right way, they're lining it all up in the proper way. Mary was a pure young lady, and in this moment, let me stop and encourage you, help you understand why this is important. The Bible uses the word virgin in this portion of Scripture. Number one, because God said that the person through whom the Messiah would come would be a virgin. And that's obviously a very significant point. If God said it, it's got to be that way, okay? And yeah, there are a lot of versions of the Bible today that change the word virgin right here, to the phrase a young woman. And the reality is the word virgin here is the word that means a young lady who had kept herself sexually pure. That's the word in the Greek. And so this was a young lady who had that had kept herself pure. She was a young lady who was a godly young lady. And yet, this means something significant to the Christmas narrative more than just the fact that she was pure and then would therefore be a good and godly mother. The Bible had said that this was the case that would be. And it was also necessary that Mary was a virgin for Joseph not to be the father of Jesus. Because the way that the Bible tells us is that Jesus was the Son of God. And it is very clear to protect the fact that Jesus was God's Son. Jesus as God's Son is a message that tells us that He was not just any other person, but He was a divine figure. The fact that Jesus was the Son of God is synonymous with saying that Jesus was God Himself. And if Jesus had an earthly father, it would give room, and rightfully so, for Jesus' deity to be attacked. But Jesus had no earthly father. Jesus was born to a pure couple, to a couple that had been sexually and morally pure. And so in this moment, Jesus is coming and being pronounced to be born as the child that had no father, the child of a virgin mother. And this is an important fact in the biblical narrative. And so they were a pure couple. They were an espoused couple. And they were also to be a blessed couple. Don't miss this fact. It says in verse number 18, she was found with child. Now, the initial reaction to that news was obviously something that would have been somewhat negative, because Joseph had no explanation for it. But as they came to understand the reality of it, this became a very positive thing. But before I go on, let me challenge you here. To be found with child is always a blessing. And in our culture, I felt the Lord to just have me pause for just a moment in this section of Scripture and remind you to avoid the cultural mindset that children are anything but a blessing. We live in a society that speaks ill of children more often than they speak positively of them. If a couple gets married young and has children young, a lot of times people will be like, I don't know if you should have had kids that early. I don't know if that was a good idea. Maybe a couple will get married and then they'll decide not to have kids until they're 28 or 29 or 30 or 31, because they want to live life first. They want to enjoy life first. And all of those things are things that really speak against the blessing of children. And so, ladies, let me encourage you. I pray that God would lead you to the right man, and you'd get married at the right time, and all those things. And I know that not everybody gets married early, and I know there's a lot of variables that change with all that, and some ladies want to get married before they get to, and all those things. I understand all that, but let me encourage you with this, that children are a blessing. And never listen to the cultural lie that having a child will hinder your life. Never. Children are always a blessing. And guys, it's just as important that you realize that as well. Do not get so zeroed in on your career or your hobbies or the things that you like that you miss one of life's greatest blessings. A father who is convinced of the blessing of children is a great gift to his home. Many homes that have kids and have loving wives have fathers that are distant because they're not sold out to the fact that their family is one of their greatest blessings. This was a blessed couple. She was found with child. Now, we know that the child that she was found with was obviously the greatest blessing of it. But don't listen to the lies. And it is because we have devalued children in our culture that people are okay with abortion. If we realized how significant children were, we'd never be okay with it. Now, I assume that none of you are. But we need to stand up for the fact that children are a blessing. And I know that you're like, this is not a Christmas thought. I know this is not a Christmas thought. But this is the reality in which we live. And so let me challenge you to remember that children are a blessing. This couple was a blessed couple. Not only were they blessed with the fact that it was a child, but this child was of the Holy Ghost. This was the God child. This was to be the God man. And so the blessing was increased because this was not just a child that was to be born. This was God himself that was giving himself through the womb of Mary. And so this was the pronouncement. There is going to be the baby Christ born through you, Mary, and you are to raise him, Joseph. That was the pronouncement that was given, a pronouncement of hope. And then number two here this morning, there is the pondering of Joseph in this passage. Verse number 19 says, then Joseph, her husband, he finds out. Okay, so he hears the pronouncement. He said, okay, at this point, he's not heard God's pronouncement. He's just heard man's pronouncement. Mary told him, hey, I'm pregnant. The word found is a word that means to be discovered. And so maybe it was several months in. She had gone to be with her cousin Elizabeth, and she came back, and she was several months pregnant at that point. And maybe it was at that point that it became very apparent that she was with child. She was found with child. And so Joseph, rightly so, began to think about the fact that everything that he had hoped for and dreamed for was about to come crashing down if he was looking at it just from man's perspective. And you and I could imagine of how Joseph could have felt in this moment. What was he supposed to do? But how is he supposed to respond to the fact that the woman that he loved and that he planned to marry was now pregnant? In this moment, Joseph has a choice to make. And this is the choice that all of us have to make as we come to the Christmas season, as it comes to receiving the hope that God wants to give us. Joseph had to choose to trust his emotions or trust God. To trust his emotions or trust God. To respond in a way that would be overly human, but contrary to God's will, or to accept what God had to say in this moment. So what did Joseph do? Well, the first thing we want to notice this morning is, he pondered justly. That's how it introduces it. So Joseph, her husband, being a just man. The word just means righteous. Joseph was a good Jewish man. He obeyed the word of God. He did what was right. He kept his life associated with the things he was supposed to. Joseph was a just man. He would have processed this news as any righteous Jew would have processed this news. You know what that means? That she was wrong. That's what that means. That if Mary was pregnant in any way that was wrong, then she was wrong. That would have been part of his natural conclusion. And so therefore, he would have had the right to get a divorce in the biblical sense. And I'm not here. I already paused to talk about abortion this morning and all that. So we're not going to pause and talk about divorce. But in this passage and in this moment, there is an allusion to the one exception that God gives. And really, it's not an exception that even fits in our culture today. And so all I'll say there is that divorce is never right in God's eyes. In this moment, the divorce would have been completely different from what is normal today. And so he would have come to the conclusion, I could get a divorce and have her stoned. Being a just man. That's what that means. He was a good, righteous man. He was going to do the right thing. He pondered justly. But he pondered compassionately. His sense of righteousness was not void of mercy. It says that he was a just man, but not willing to make her a public example. Was minded to put her away privately. Joseph did not want to do that. He could have done it. Would have been the right thing if the error was as would have been humanly perceived, which we obviously know it was not. It really what we find is because Joseph had a just mentality and a compassionate heart, he was ready to receive what God wanted him to receive. And that we'll talk about here in just a moment. Instead of being one that was dedicated to seeking revenge on this young lady who had, from a human standpoint, destroyed his life, Joseph said, you know what? I could have her stoned, or we could just kind of do this in secret, and just kind of dissolve the whole espousal and just kind of go our separate ways. And that's what he was thinking to do. And then we find that he pondered patiently. It says in verse number 20, but while he thought on these things. What does that mean? It means that Joseph was not in a hurry to make a decision that would alter his life and Mary's life in a drastic way. He did not respond impetuously, rashly, with haste, when all of this happened. And as you come to uncertain times, what Joseph did in this moment is absolutely essential to you. He waited and he thought patiently. When big news, life-changing news comes to you, let me encourage you, don't respond quickly. Stop and seek what God has to say. And that's exactly what happened in Joseph's life. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He waited. And as he waited, God brought the message of hope that he needed to hear. God's word came to him. And so as you go through times in your life and something comes to change your perspective or change the circumstances, just take some time and think about it. Think it through. Think it through biblically. Think it through in a just manner. Think it through in a compassionate way if it involves other people. But think patiently. Ponder the situation around you with an attitude of waiting, because God works while we wait. God prepares our hearts in a special way as we are willing to wait on Him to find strength or guidance or direction in life. And ultimately, it is as we wait on God that God's presence brings us hope. And so as you go throughout the Christmas season, God wants to give you hope, but it only comes as you wait on Him. And that's at the heart of this lesson today. And it was as Joseph did this, as he responded in the right way, that it prepared the situation for the provision of God, which is the last piece of the puzzle today. If you spend any time with a three-year-old, you will find out very quickly that their favorite question is why. Samuel asks us why about everything. I mean, just anything. He'll ask you why the sky is blue. He'll ask you why the clouds are moving that way. He'll ask you why the power goes out when the power goes out. He'll ask you why the light flickers. He'll ask you why about everything. And if we're not careful, we do that same exact thing to God. We ask God, why haven't you done this yet? Or why, what is that? What are you doing here, God? How is this going to work out? And we ask God all of these questions when instead what we ought to do is simply trust Him. And as we trust Him, we find out some things about, as Joseph trusted Him, he found out some things in this passage, and we would find them out as well if we had time, but I'll just give them to you and then we'll go this morning. The first thing about the provision of God is that the plan that God had was miraculous. In our darkest circumstances, we often forget that God has a plan to bring good out of our suffering. While Joseph was wrestling through undesirable options, God lifted the curtain and revealed a miraculous plan. That's what God will do in your life as well. God's provision is miraculous. And God's provision was not just miraculous. God's plan and provision offers salvation. Letter B. Sorry, I'll go through these. Oh, too fast. All right. It offers salvation. Jesus came. Luke 2:11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a child which in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Jesus came to save. That's the heart of the hope. Jesus came to change the darkest circumstance ever in history, which was the sin of man, by being a Savior. Jesus came and brought hope in the darkness. Jesus is the Savior of the world. And without this moment, without Christmas, there would be no cross. Everything that happened at Christmas is directly connected and absolutely essential to the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, why do we celebrate Christmas? Because without Christmas, there would be no salvation. And so it is significant. And so it ought to be celebrated. And it is the beginning of the message of hope. And so this was a provision that offered salvation. And it was a promise that was personal. I've said it in this class before, but one of my favorite names for God in Jesus Christ is in verse number 23. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel." Which being interpreted is God with us. You see, the hope came because Jesus came. And Jesus came to save, and Jesus came to stay. That's the message. Why can I have hope at Christmas? Not because of Christmas trees or hot chocolate or time with family or any of those things. Because I can have Jesus. Bible says in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's where hope comes from. If someone wants hope this Christmas, they need Jesus. That's why we have events like we have at Christmas. So we can tell people about Jesus. So you can invite someone to Gift Sunday. You can invite someone to the Cantata. And they can hear about Jesus and how He came. And not just how He came, but why He came. And I encourage you, in your own personal life, turn to Jesus this Christmas. It'll be the best Christmas you've ever had. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day and the time we've had together. I pray you bless this class. Lord, I pray you'd help them to spread the message of hope. And I pray you'd help us to have a great service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.